Hello, Team Wolf fans. Tonight we're discussing Season 6, Episode 3, Sundowning, with special guest Cody St. New. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I just fade away.
Oh, yeah. Take it off.
Are we taking our...
We're taking it all off. Come on, Cody. We didn't get to see you this episode. Come on.
I know.
So we're going to do it here.
We're going to
get Cody to do his shirtless scene right here on AfterBuzz TV.
The Brett Talbot.
Yes.
Shirtless.
We're going to do a formal introduction, guys. So I'm your host for this evening, Kristen Elizabeth Snyder. You can follow me at Cinematic Escape. And you can follow AfterBuzz TV at AfterBuzz TV. And we are discussing Season 6 of Teen Wolf Episode 3, Sundowning. Joining me, AfterBuzz TV host Elena Jordan.
What up? I'm Elena Jordan. You can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl.
And our special guest plays Brett Talbot on MTV's Teen Wolf. Please welcome Cody St. New.
What up, guys?
Show us a good move, Cody. Come on.
Show us a good...
Oh, what?
Okay, no, you do it.
Oh, look at that.
I love it. Okay, we're gonna have timeouts every once in a while where we're gonna want the dance music back on so Cody can teach us a move.
Oh, I'm down. Let's
okay.
get it.
Okay,
we're gonna have our own Nathan's party right here.
That's right.
But it's gonna be
after party.
Boom.
Yes.
And boom. Nathan's party.
And if you
party.
Are in here, you are protected from the Ghost Riders.
That's true. We brought the sage.
Mountain Ash dance party.
Yeah, exactly. If you guys at home want to call in, the number to ask Cody a question is 424-253-0504. It's in the lower part of the video, but again, it's 424-253-0504. Last week when Kylan Rambo was in, who plays Mason, unfortunately, there were so many people calling in that you guys broke the internet, aka our phone lines, so it didn't work. But we're going to hopefully... It works tonight. We've made some adjustments, so thank you guys for being patient on that. But you can always go to AfterBuzzTV.com and chat with us. We can see your chats. The engineer is going to put it up on the screen for us so we can read your questions there as well. If you can't get through, just go to the chat. And let's go ahead and get to the episode.
What an episode. Wow.
Cody, what was your favorite part of this episode?
Oh,
just a scene.
You know, my favorite scene probably out of the whole thing was... I really like Lyndon talking about his past.
Yeah.
I think that was a really cool just close-up, and it was very vulnerable, and it was just a really well-done scene. Also, to add on to that, turnaround time for my medicine...
Yes! Oh, so good.
That was a great scene. We really loved Grandpa.
I think that one might be actually my favorite.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Well, I want to talk about what it's like, because we want to talk about Mr. Douglas, the teacher. And for you, you are such a nice guy, but you play all these badass dudes. Brett is kind of a jerk on the show. He's getting better.
He hasn't made the appearance yet, but what I am allowed to say about season 6 and Brett is that all claws point to him being back.
Yes. So more Brett.
It's gonna be cool.
I'm excited. But so what I want to know is, like, how do you channel that bad guy? Like, where do you go for that kind of influence in your acting since you're such a nice guy? I know that's not, like, you personally.
Yeah, no. You know, here's the thing. Everybody has a dark side. Everybody has a light side. Everybody has a dark side. We all have a very pretty side. We all have a very ugly side. And part of being an actor and any artist is accepting both of those and being very honest with yourself. And so, you know, when you're doing stuff like that, you know, you're thinking of every person you actually really hate. And so, you know, I think it's stuff like that. And also, you know, a little imagination too, you know, because clearly, yeah, so that's what I do.
No, that's great. And that's, I can see that, but it's so hard for me to be like mean, like people have to really upset me. So that would be interesting. I don't really know how to reach that dark. There must be like tactics that you practice.
Well, here's also this. There's, you ever have those moments where it's like, man, I really wanted to tell that person off because they're such an asshole. But yes. Guess what? In acting, you really get to.
Yes.
You get to be that ugly person and it's a safe, controlled environment. It's like, ah. Got that out of me. I'm gonna go be a better person.
So it's like you get revenge, controlled revenge.
Yeah.
Because you use that in your acting. I freaking love that.
Absolutely.
Oh,
it's true.
My. People are saying in the chat, Grandpa Stiles is a jerk. We will get to that. I didn't think he was a jerk. I loved Grandpa Elias. So let's,
I don't know.
No,
like,
you didn't
his
love
son
him?
And the glass working its way out of his shoulder might have some other feelings.
Okay, we just have to talk about him. We can't ignore him. Let's talk about him first. So the whole pack realizes, obviously, that, you know, they're missing something, and then Malia's taking her test and freaking out, and then the word Stiles comes up, and Stilinski says that that was actually his father's nickname in the army, and the pack decides that they need to track down Elias, who is Stilinski's father, even though Stilinski is very against it. And we learn, like you said, from the scars that he was actually an abusive father. And so the pack breaks into the nursing home, and they have this conversation with him where they are just trying to figure out what he remembers. And you guys made sense of this and why, you know, Stiles wasn't really erased from his memory. So can you guys talk about that?
Well, what we kind of hypothesized as we were watching is that because he has dementia and because it's altering the states of memory, his state is already altered. So the ghost writers aren't able to fully erase his memory because he's already...
His mind's already been cemented in a different time era, so there's nothing present for them to shift, I feel.
1975 is the time that he
or
thinks
76
it is.
Or 76 or something, yeah.
It's not until he sundowns and then Lydia uses the math to get him to focus back.
They lose their faculties after sundowning. I learned so
he's
much about it. I didn't know anything.
He's way nicer, though, when he has dementia. That's horrible to say, but he's so much nicer than when he, like, gets back into it. And he's like, are the brains getting smaller with the skirts?
I love that.
I know.
I had Malia's reaction. I'm like, claws out, buddy.
Yeah.
Looks like... Okay. Oh. Hello, caller. What's your name and where are you from? Okay.
Oh.
All right. Call us back. Off. We just dropped. The caller must have dropped off.
Can we also talk about how badass Belia is? Like, dude, she's just taking no names, no prisoners, no nothing.
She's head taking a lot of
people.
Pencils.
Yeah. Snapping them.
Well, the thing was.
Aw, snap.
Stiles was really her anchor, obviously, and he's the one who taught her to control it. So the fact that he's not there now, she's just, like, unleashed. This season, if you might say.
Look at Kristen coming with the fun.
Fellow Punisher. High five.
You
high five me.
Wearing off
Punisher?
On me.
Like,
yeah,
like,
I'm a Punisher.
That's
Okay, so Cray Tay Tay has a question for you, Cody. She wants to know, does Brett get a girlfriend or boyfriend this season?
I can't tell you.
Okay, well, we have a caller on the line. Let's see what they think. Caller, what's your name? Where are you from?
My name is Karante Paul, and I'm from Washington, D.C.
Awesome. Thanks for calling
in.
He's from Washington.
Oh, cool. What's up? How are you?
Hello?
Yeah, did you have
Can
a question
you
for
your,
Cody?
Your speakers down a little bit so you don't hear us?
Cody, see you. What's it like playing a bisexual Buddhist werewolf?
playing a bisexual Buddhist werewolf? Well, you know, I have to tell you, I haven't really got to dive into that part too much of Brett. So, you know, it's an honor, though, to have such a title because, you know, I think playing, like, LGBT, you know, characters, there's a responsibility there to keep spreading the word of, you know, how that's okay and, you know, to just love yourself and to be confident. Like, your heroes are on TV, you know, these characters that you look up to. So, you know, to have that title, it's an honor, but... the actual experience of it, all Brett's really got to do is dance in the club with a guy and a girl at the same time. So it's about
sounds
the
pretty
there.
Good for me.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah, Kalante, did you have another question you wanted to ask?
Does Brett get any love interest this season?
So with the chat, everybody wants to know.
I don't know.
That means he can't answer, so let's hope so. Well, Kalonte, thank you so much for calling in. We really appreciate the fan support. Have a great night.
I love you guys. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Aww. I should Malia and too. Brett until Styles comes back.
Malia and Brett.
Malia and Brett would be the scariest couple ever. Oh, yeah, they'd just be walk ruthless. Into the party and be like, we own this place now.
I could ship that. What about you guys?
Malia and Brett. That'd be
I like it.
People are saying they're watching our show at work overtime, baby.
Yeah.
That's right.
Good job, Erica Walker. We appreciate it. And CC Freak, we love it.
All about it.
All about it. Okay, so back to Grandpa Elias. Like, his acting was amazing. I was like, I didn't write, like, anything down when we were taking notes because I was so focused on what he was going to do and say next. I just really was into that scene.
His performance, the innocent, you know, unknowing senior citizen, to then just this aggressive, like, even the whole body, if you even notice, he was slouched, and then it was like you could feel the army general in him, like, come back out, and you're just like, wow. And also really big kudos to Jeff on all those turnarounds like that. Yeah, that's really cool, keeping you on your toes writing. That's awesome.
Having that one line, when he's talking about the army and he's like, the best years of my life, and we're all like, what? And then he changes into the like drill sergeant basically, and you're like, okay, now we get it.
Is it time for my medicine?
That was perfect.
Like, I'll give you your medicine, old man. You stop talking about my skirts and my brain.
Yeah, there was this line that Mr. Douglas had pointed out that the greater the power, the greater the control. So we kind of slipped into that with Grandpa Elias saying that, you know, those were the best years of his life. But we do get that line when he's yelling, Stilinski comes in, breaks up the pack, tells them to leave, and then we get what they came there for. We get that line where he says, you know, you act like I'm not even here. He says to Stilinski, and he's like,
go back to your dead wife and your loser son.
Yes.
Which also mean, God.
Yes, but this is also like the seed now is planted in Stilinski. What did he mean? My wife's not dead. And he brings up that dream later when he's telling Scott that, you know, we find out that great information that he was going to name his son after Claudia, his wife's father, and she said... Which they did.
But then don't give us the name again. We will never know his name.
We're getting closer, though.
We'll never know his first name.
It's going to happen this
season. The last episode,
they keep bringing it up.
Better. Yeah. If I never find out Styles' first name, I'm just going to make it up.
This
I'm
is what
call
I think.
Rumpelstiltskin.
Little prediction here, early in the show, I know, but little prediction. I'm reading stuff they're writing. It's so funny. I think that whenever Styles does come back... and his father sees him, or whoever sees him, they're going to call him by his real name. That's how we're going to figure it out.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
Mm-hmm. Prediction coming at you. Okay.
But I do love that line. No matter what, it won't matter anyway, because we'll just call him Styles.
Yep. So we're getting closer to everyone remembering him, thank goodness. I want to talk about Mr. Douglas before we get into the party scene. Now, this was really crazy. We learned a lot this episode about him. We were right. He was not just charming, Elena. Elena thought he was just charming.
I was like, he's a bad boy. I knew he was going to be bad. I just wanted him to be charming. Anytime they're like, look at this attractive man. Then he's like, I'm a jerk. You.
I'm always very weary of these attractive men, and I knew he was bad news. So it's confirmed he's the Nazi werewolf that broke out last season.
No, he's not.
The fans were correct. She's still in denial. Hello, caller. What's your name and where are you from?
Oh, hi. My name's Jane, and I'm from Georgia.
Oh, hey! Georgia.
Hey, what up, fella Georgia?
Elena is also from Georgia. Do you have a question for Cody? Thanks so much for calling in.
Okay. Okay. Do you ship to like? Okay. I'm so nervous. I don't even know why.
Aww, don't be. Don't be.
Styles and Malia.
What about Styles and Malia?
Who do you?
Do you like ship Styles and Malia or Stidia?
Oh man, I get asked this all the time. I got asked this last time, and I'm gonna keep it to the original. I think you know, true love's got to find its way back. Stidia.
Yeah.
Yes. Team Stidia.
Yep.
Holding
Stidia
it down,
and then shit, Brett and Malia. It's perfect. Works out for everyone.
How do you feel about Brett and Malia? Do you like that combination?
Yes. Love it.
I was waiting for the no.
The fans have confirmed it. Well, thank you so much for calling in. We really appreciate your support.
Oh, no problem. Love you guys.
Love you too. Have a great night.
Have a good one, sweetie.
You too.
Aww. Love fest. I love
your
it.
Your fans are the sweetest people in the world.
No.
I'm not even kidding you.
Not mine. It's Team Wolf. They graciously let me come into that. They are the best. And, you know, anyone that, you know, has been following me through that, I love you guys.
No. So. Well, congrats to you. And we love watching you. So thanks. It's not just them. It's you and your performances. So we really appreciate it. And thank you for all coming on our show and entertaining again.
Thank everybody for calling in.
I love that. Those family.
But more about Mr. Douglas.
Mr. Douglas. So, he's confirmed the Nazi werewolf. And then we find out from JR and Melissa that somebody's going around biting the necks of people to take out the pineal gland. And
Is it the skull or the neck?
They're biting the skull so that they can get to the pineal gland, which is right in the center of your brain. It's in between the two hemispheres.
And Dr. St. New, can you explain this to us?
Yeah.
Well... No, a little bit actually. Yeah, the pineal gland. From what a little bit of research, all three of us did. I'm not a scientist. We totally looked this up. Yeah. The pineal gland is all about your youth and beauty and someone's. What's this?
It's as we age, our pineal glands calcify. It's what's in charge of keeping your circadian rhythm and making sure you sleep right.
Yeah, that.
Which makes sense because the Nazi werewolf is so old. I mean, he was kept alive by the dread doctors in those tanks, so he's been alive forever. So it makes sense that he's eating these pineal glands to stay young.
It's called the third eye because it's supposed to be what contains your soul.
Yeah, he's taking everyone's essences. He's going to be like schizophrenic after all that, I think. He's not going to know who he is.
I mean, something's going on. And we also saw that he's using the helium, of course, for his cough. So just a lot
of... his voice doesn't change, which upsets me. I really just, like, wouldn't it be awesome if he's like, I'm very scary and I'm coming to get you guys. Like, it'd be terrifying and amazing at the same time.
I'd love to hear his growl, like the howl with helium.
Yeah. But it's the alpha growl. We know he's an alpha because he's got the red eyes. But he's the alpha that you find by the high-pitched howl.
People want to know, was Douglas created by the Dread Doctors? I don't think so. I think he was preserved in those tanks over time. And they were
I don't think he was created. I think he was kept as an experiment.
Yeah, I think so. And no, he's a little Frankenstein on the loose. But we don't have that much time left, so I want to get to this missing people party. So Gwen's sister is gone. The only one who believes there is Hayden, and the pack decides they need to throw a party to keep Gwen safe because Gwen doesn't even believe that these Ghost Riders exist. How much did you guys love the freaking party, though?
The party was amazing. I did not love how skeptical Gwen was. Like, I'm like, if your sister's missing, this is the only person
who cares.
Wouldn't
you believe any theory? Yeah. What do you think,
Cody? I kind of completely disagree.
Really?
Like, something we were going to have different opinions on. Because what I think is really cool, what's settling in to Beacon Hills is the reality of it. The real reality of someone, like, yes, there is some weird stuff going on, but the reality of someone trying to tell you that there's werewolves or there's Ghost Riders kidnapping you and all this, like, to any normal human high schooler or any sane person, they're going to look at you like you're crazy. And so I like, for me at least, I liked a little bit of the reality in that. It brought it back to a real... I feel what it could have been more organic of a altercation between them.
I agree with that because she was playing defense and the victim being like, oh, you guys are just making fun of me now. It's just a joke to you. So I can understand that. Thanks for breaking it down for us, Cody. Always helping me see the other perspectives, calming me down. So I want to know, and I need you guys, since you're scientists, to explain this. So Ghost Rider comes and the pack starts battling him. And the entire party sees him once Corey touches him.
Because now he's changed his state of existence, just like light particles, the waves. Once it's been touched, it's been altered, like the card from last episode.
So lights are waves until it's perceived, and then it's light.
I think it's just using the light as like a metaphor. Is like the different planes is, you know, how it can be, like the whole Schrodinger's cat thing, is that it's depending on how it's measured, how it's perceived, alters its existence.
Dr. St. New, what do you think about this?
I have a more supernatural approach to it.
Okay.
No, something that a possibility could be is same as light and dark, but how about visible and invisible? The fact that something that the matter is not really there, that he's in his form, touches that and reversed it. So it could be...
I like that, too.
Could be something like that.
I like what you guys are doing here.
I feel like it's different planes, like different dimension, almost like in the same like existence. But like he, because Corey, I don't think he disappears. I think he goes to a whole separate plane of existence. Mm-hmm. And that's the same one that the ghostwriters are in. So he's making that plane, he's bringing it into this plane of existence. So instead of just being invisible, he can actually alter reality.
Mm. I just love how much science they're teaching us this season on Teen Wolf, because we went through the Schrodinger's cat and all that and the states of existence changing, and now we're seeing that happen with the Ghost Rider, which was so cool. And then they,
and
of course,
it mirrors even in the personalities. Like, we see Corey so apprehensive and everything, and now he's starting to step up his game a little bit more and kind of come more into his power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like it.
I was so happy that the pack handled this situation, because Liam even said to Scott, what am I going to do? And he's like, you're going to handle it.
Yeah, but you know, I have to say, I felt like Scott was a little cold. It wasn't, I get a lot of stuff's going on, but I wish he would have been a little bit more nurturing and told him, like, you got this. Not like, figure it out. I would have been like,
I got you with that.
That was also very scientific.
Yeah.
Well, for some reason, and you guys have to explain this to me too, since you are the scientists in house tonight, in house scientists.
I failed science.
I mean, all scientists do, right? Because you were just doing your own experiments.
It was trial and error. I tried letter A and B and C. It was actually D, and so I failed all my tests.
There you go.
That's really funny. So my question for you guys.
I love you, Mrs. Frame.
Whenever the Hellhound, Parrish, he comes in, why does his presence affect the Ghost Rider, and the Ghost Rider finally vanishes? It's definitely not those bullets. It's definitely not seeing another gun pointed at him. So what is it about the Hellhound?
Having a harbinger of death just
stare you in the face. I think the ghost... Well, sorry, I totally just cut you off.
No, go ahead.
The ghost, you know, a ghost is like right in that in between like life and death, and he is the harbinger of death. So he is like the final step. So it's almost, you know, he's like shutting the door on him. Or, I don't know. He's going to get dragged somewhere. I don't know.
I almost wonder if it's like because Scott was saying, okay, well, if everybody at the party saw them now, everybody's going to be taken. If that was almost the Ghost Rider, like the harbinger of death, is like, I'm going to stop you. And he's just like, I'm not even going to fight you. Joke's on you, bro. I'm taking everybody at this party. Peace, Gwen.
I like that. I think you're right about that also, but it's like he didn't...
I was going to say it just like that, which is why they had to cover his mouth, because it's that sass talk.
Exactly. Exactly. He sounds a lot like Elena Jordan when he talks, the Ghost Rider. But getting back to it, when is the original cast going to graduate 6A or B? I believe that's 6B. Cody, can you confirm?
No. I know nothing.
He's saying no.
I know as in I know nothing. Not no or yes. It's I know nothing.
He can't give you guys spoilers. But I did see Cray Cray Tay Tay. Her birthday's December 19th, and she wouldn't know if you'd wish her a happy birthday.
What's her name?
Cray Cray Tay Tay.
Cray Cray Tay Tay. I hope you have a very happy birthday, and I hope that you get double the presents, even though you probably don't.
But for Christmas.
Yeah, right.
But what you did get is a happy birthday from Cody Saint New. So you did just get double gifts. Like you're welcome.
I suggest having your party in June.
So you can be Geminis like us.
Well, you can't be a Gemini. You weren't born, but no.
But you can have your party with us.
What if she's like, I'm a Gemini?
All of our screenshot people make a gif of him wishing her happy birthday, and then it's a gift.
Now we've got a lot of birthdays. We have Jane Shaw turning 16 in January.
Oh, so many.
Aw, happy birthday.
All right. Well, you guys, I want to know, before we get into an interview with Cody, what do you guys think is going to happen next week? Can we roll predictions?
Do you want to know Stalinsky, what we think of him?
And now, yes.
Bad one. Didn't work.
She's the queen of puns, but I don't always get them. So the chat was saying that they think that Gwen and Mason are next to disappear. What do you guys think?
I think it's the whole party.
I think so too.
I
think everybody at the party.
But it looks like Scott has a plan. It looks like he shuts down the school and keeps everybody in the school, because he's like, we're not going to let everybody disappear. And it looks like Parrish is there, the Hellhound, to try to help things, but you guys don't think so. You think everyone's going to be gone.
I think it's going to be my prediction, and I don't know, I really don't know, is it's going to be like a giant hostage situation. They're all going to be in a classroom, those select group of kids, and, you know, it's going to be the pack holding it down, trying to keep them away. That's what I think.
What if basically everyone gets taken and it's like the town disappears? It's like its whole, like, own
road. Ghost Riders Town?
And then they have to save all of Beacon Hills. Because at some point, if you take the whole high school, you're going to notice, like, I went to school with more than three people.
There's no one in this town. I mean, tourists would notice, right? This is for sure a ghost town. I mean, maybe that's why there are
very few tourists come to Beacon Hills. They always get murdered immediately upon arrival.
That's true. I'm pretty sure I'm from a ghost town, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, because there's not a lot of people there, so this makes sense. I think I'm from Beacon Hills.
That's awesome.
I love it.
There's nobody there. But, okay, what do you guys think is going to happen with Mr. Douglas? Like, what is his end game here? Is he going to be working at all with the Ghost Riders? Like, are those stories gonna collide? What's happening here?
Oh man, Mr. Douglas, I mean,
he's just gonna keep stealing those pineal glands or what?
I have no idea. I honestly, there's a weird part of me that thinks like the Dread Doctors are gonna come back, and I don't know, I don't know.
How cool would it be if in part B they just integrate all of the things that have happened, and they all, like, a whole big, like, mass exodus, and they all come to Beacon Hills?
All the monsters.
And they have to just, like, a whole, like, boom, 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 wow. Take them all out.
I hope not. You, like, won an apocalypse, a monster apocalypse.
I think that would be awesome.
A mon-pocalypse.
That'd be the best way to shut it down. And then they, like, close the whole vortex, and they're like, Beacon Hills, safe forever.
You're giving the Teen Wolf ending I just wanted next week. I'm just kidding. People in the chat saying they want Derek back. You guys, I really don't think that's going to happen.
He's on Supergirl.
He's on Supergirl.
He's being Superman.
You can go there and check him out. They said zombie werewolf Mr. Douglas. I don't know if he's so much of a zombie, but talking about we're not talking about Corey's braveness. What do you guys think about Corey being brave and finally, you know, jumping in the pack? He was scared for so long. You know what I liked? Bringing that up one more thing is the courage that his boyfriend Mason gives him. I mean, how much courage do you guys get when you're in a relationship and you have that other person?
They're one of my favorite
giving
couples.
Giving you that
just
courage.
Because he's always, like, helping Corey out and building up his confidence. And Corey doesn't realize how much he, like, helps Mason, too. They're so cute. I love him.
I totally agree. And I think what's really cool is even Mason's character on a whole is really coming into his own as being the glue of the group and being the peacemaker for everyone and bringing a calmness, because he helps Liam, he helps everyone. And so I like the direction of his character. I think it's really cool.
Yeah, and I love how his boyfriend Corey has sort of been the key to the season. The fact that he can see the Ghost Riders and nobody else can unless they're being taken.
Well, that's like their whole thing about states of existence and how it changes depending on how it's perceived. If he perceives himself as somebody who can only turn invisible, like they've said in, you know, other, like, that's all he can do, and he kind of feels like he's not helping, now that he's starting to gain his confidence.
Relationship courage.
Yeah, it's like a whole thing.
Hashtag.
Where it's like it changes how he perceives himself, changes how he is. It makes him, if he perceives himself as able to help, then he actually is.
Yeah, he could totally branch off, almost like how Lydia is, like, you know, evolved into so many other powers because of her confidence and, you know, everything she's gone through.
One more question for you guys before we get into an exclusive interview with Cody is Mark Murphy wants to know, can you guys talk about how Claudia is alive but Allison is still dead even though Styles caused both their deaths? Did Styles really cause Allison's death?
Death?
I don't
feel
think
like
so.
Allison's
that
death
was
more.
That was her being like a hero.
Yeah, I think that the implication is that Styles feeling guilty for his mom's death, we now know, like, that is something that is a reality for him. Whereas Allison was more of a product of the situation. It was less like him specifically and more everything that was happening.
But that's a good question, because I am wondering, are they going to bring back more people?
I want to know, if Styles comes back, does that mean Claudia disappears?
Yeah, that's going to be really weird.
Whoa. And is it a trade-off for poor Stilinski? Like, Noah Stilinski has to be like, okay, bye.
And she
wife.
Died from dementia, and that's what Grandpa Elias has?
Yeah. But
I don't even know how you die from dementia. Do you?
I've never heard of that.
No.
Unless you've slipped into such another reality that you did something to harm yourself. That's the only thing I could think of.
Yeah, and we had people commenting on the YouTube, Daldi, Piper Charms, Omar. Thank you guys all for commenting. Omar says, are people forgetting the rooftop moment at the hospital where Styles got to see the memory about his mother telling Sheriff Stilinski that Styles did this to her, blaming her illness on him? So We did, kind of, but now you've reminded us, thank you. But yeah, we're not quite sure. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to us. Maybe you guys can look into this about why Claudia is back, because it really wasn't
they
anything
have to
that
explain
Styles did.
How the yeah. other timelines haven't been altered.
Yeah, I agree with that. Well, now we want to get into an exclusive interview with Cody.
After this, to be exclusive.
Yes. So I know we've asked you some of these questions before, but I feel like our fan base changes a lot. Yeah. So we want to just see, what were like your early influences, and if you can remind them of sort of your background and what made you want to act.
My early influences. Basically, a lot of you know, but for those of you that don't know, I was adopted. I was adopted at the age of 12. I was taken away at 9, and so, I came from, a family of, abuse and stuff like that, and I was a street kid, so I'm really from the streets, and so, I got into it first modeling to impress a girl, but, yeah, because she would never look my way, she so I thought if I became an Abercrombie model, she'd like me.
Stop telling the story of how we
met. Did she?
You know what? By the time I started to get into everything, I put my thoughts and feelings into my work, I forgot about the girl. That didn't ever really like me. But, no, so the influence is definitely, I absolutely carry that stuff with me. Acting and entertainment and art in general, whether it's guitar or anything, acting, producing. I absolutely draw from that, and so those are absolutely my influences, and of course, everyday people I meet. Every day something new inspires me, so just being open to it.
No, you have an awesome backstory, and I can see why you're so motivated and inspired, and thank you for doing what you do. Yeah. You definitely channeled that in a positive way that I feel like a lot of people from home can relate to. So it's good to hear those stories empowering people.
Yeah, and I highly encourage you to find what is your, almost like mental medicine. And I'm not talking pills or medication by any means.
Is it time for my medicine?
Is it time? get into guitar. Find something that you can kind of just get lost in. Whether it's acting or something, more people need art in their life.
What are some of your favorite hobbies besides, working and acting, just creative things? I know you mentioned guitar, but...
Yeah, I picked up the guitar again, and aww. I started playing it. I'm learning the song Fast Car by Tracy Chapman.
Oh, and next time you come on, you're going to play for us?
Yes!
Oh, my God, that'd be a cool goal.
Do it.
Maybe
that's
I
our
will.
Intro music for the next
yes.
time you're here.
Oh,
you play
my
our
God,
intro.
But every guitar player's going to be like, that sucks, it's such an easy song.
No, but it would be inspiring to everybody who knows that you're going to learn it for our next show.
You know what? I'm going to try. I'm going to do it.
Yeah! Yes.
I will do it.
Yes.
I'm going to do it.
Sweet. I'm excited. We got you. People want to know who's your favorite character on the show?
My favorite character on the show? I would have to say probably, who I really liked was Gideon Emery, who played the
blind.
We've
had him in.
And I got to actually get to know him a lot better on, where was it? I think it was London. We had a Comic-Con or an appearance thing together, and he's such a cool guy, and he's just so talented. Yeah. I mean, just his style. There's really talented people, and then there's their style, and I really like his. It's
not
cool.
To be confused with Styles, who's still missing.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, but for those of you who don't know, Gideon Emery, he played the blind werewolf, and yeah. he had been on our show a few times. Yeah, he's a really awesome guy.
And then later faked blind. So good!
Yeah, of course you like the villains.
I do, I know. I've always liked the villains, actually. I've always thought that they were cool. I was like, man, they're just dark and mysterious. And...
Who's your favorite Disney villain?
Ooh.
My favorite...
Or if you could play a Disney villain
in real life.
Or any villain.
Any villain?
Who do you want to play? We're turning this question into multiple questions.
I don't know too many Disney villains. I don't even know if she's a villain, but some character I think she's just so badass is Maleficent.
Yeah.
I saw that and she was just so dope. She could do anything. But as
I think
far as,
Angelina Jolie already took that one from you. I'm sorry.
I know. Well, you know what? Hey, you never know. I'm sure some red lipstick.
Maleficent 2 and it's... Cody.
Doesn't she need a husband or something? Maleficent too, the rise of, the King
Maleficent.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. They're reminding us on the chat, Deucalion was Gideon Emery's
Deucalion,
character.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
you guys are so awesome. Thank you for doing that. I want to know, if you weren't acting, was there any other profession? I know you get to do all the professions when you're acting, but, like, was there something when you were younger that you were kind of like, for a second, oh, I want to be a firefighter or I want to be a mad scientist?
You know, what's funny is when I was seven, maybe eight, I wanted to be a neurosurgeon.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah. I was very fascinated by all the dollar signs that came with it.
You're going to take all, you're gonna take all the pineal glands out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I get Mr. Douglas. I might be helping him.
So they say that it's the unconscious mind is an actor and a writer's best friend.
Yeah.
What do you make of that?
What does
it mean to you?
What that means to me is just like the best impression is when you don't try at all, so is acting. You're just being. Like, we're just connecting. We're just like locking eyes, and it's just, you know, we're just letting it happen. We're not pushing nothing. And so the only way you can do that is when you're unconsciously, you know, when it's organic. So, you know, you have to learn your lines and know it so well that it doesn't matter what goes through your mind or what, like, you're just there and you're just connecting.
Is that a hard process?
Absolutely.
Like, you just keep playing out. I mean, for me, it's like I'd be in my head the whole time. Acting is not in my future.
Well, you know, it's really hard. It's interesting. It's like, it's hard to just listen in general as human beings because we have so much going on. Also, we're also a little bit narcissistic, so we're also always thinking of other things other than the person that we're communicating with. So really, like, I meditate all the time. Like, I literally, like, focus on just focusing so that way I can really, when I'm doing a scene, I'm really listening to you and I can hear you and I'm with you.
I'm taking notes on what you're saying.
Yeah, I love that. Listen to hear, not to respond.
There's a reason they say, you know, God gave you two ears and one mouth. You need to listen twice as much.
My grandma used to say that. Really? I love that.
You guys, teaching me so much tonight.
You did say to play a scientist, so I'm kind of a method actor.
I love
it. We only had one scene in the library, and no one was studying, so we have to hold down the library for it.
Exactly. Cody, for the fans watching at home who, you know, want to be sitting here in your spot, what's some advice that you can give them, if, for anybody, really, that wants to get into the industry?
Man, this is what I always say. If you can be happier doing anything else, go do it. Seriously, I mean, I'm so serious because the amount of unfairness and politics and luck that it requires to do this and to be even being, you know, to do anything like this, it's unmatched. You know, sometimes the hardest working people never make it. And so it's but if I can't persuade you that way, then that means you're really probably an artist, and that means you're probably not going to do anything else. So what I will tell you for those people is that, you know, you need to find a really good teacher, find a mentor that you can be vulnerable with that knows where you need to go and how you need to get there, and you stick with them. And, you know, I have one. His name's Taylor Brooks, and he does really well by me. You need someone older, and you need not be an asshole younger person just thinking you know it all. Learn from your elders because there's a lot of stuff that they have to give you. And in this business, you are required to be an adult no matter what age you are. So get a mentor that is really good. Stick by them and learn every day. That's the best thing.
I love that you say that because a lot of people, they don't realize that you have to have a teacher for acting. So many people are constantly like tweeting at us, hey, how do we, you know, become an actor? How do I get an audition? It doesn't work like that. It's a school, just like any other profession. You have to study it for years. So that's great advice that you give. Yeah.
No, totally. It's you know, that's what I would say.
Awesome. Well, Cody, thanks so much for being here. It's always so much fun having you in studio. Looking forward to that song you're going to learn for us. But for now, where can the fans keep up with you?
Yeah, you guys can stalk me, harass me. Just kidding. Don't do that. but you can tweet me anything at Cody St. New, which is for all my social medias, at CodySaintNew.
Elena, where can we keep up with you?
You can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan, ALANAJORDAN, and on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in once again. Same time, same place, next
week.
And
where do we find you, Kristen?
Well, you can, if you want to take the time, you can go on to Cinematic Escape.
Escape.
Thank you, guys.
We
will see you next week.
I need it.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz.
See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.